Welcome to Scoliosis World with Dr. Morningstar, an audio podcast for all things scoliosis. And now, Chief Science Officer for Scoli Smart and Clinic Director for Scoli Smart Clinics Michigan, Dr. Mark Morningstar.
Hello, everybody. Happy almost spring. This is Dr. Morningstar with our March podcast here on Scoliosis World. Today, I'm actually going to be bringing you one of the cool things I've been able to do here since my time with Scoli Smart being the Chief Science Officer. We're going to talk a little bit about pain management for scoliosis or pain relief for scoliosis, because I think there are a lot of facets to pain as far as scoliosis goes. And I think that in order to help somebody who is having a lot of pain and also has scoliosis, I think you have to approach it from a multidimensional perspective. I would like to give a little bit of a shout out to Stephen Quimby. He is my webmaster guy that kind of puts all of my podcast stuff together for me, and he does a great job. So, big shout out, thank you to him. But anyhow, yeah. So I'm gonna go into scoli pain. For Scoli Smart, we have always sort of looked at scoliosis as an entire condition and not just a spinal curvature. And I think you have to treat every person with scoliosis that way. One of the big problems adults with scoliosis have, or frankly, the biggest reason an adult with scoliosis seeks some kind of treatment, is due to some kind of chronic pain. In fact, even going all the way back to 2007, there was a 50-year study done in patients with scoliosis who did nothing for their scoliosis for their entire lifespan. And when they were compared to the same age group 50 years later, after initial diagnosis, as children, what they found is that physically, in terms of functional capacity, they were basically the same as their peers. However, they were much more prone to having chronic pain as compared to their peers. Now, the interesting thing is that sort of the old conventional wisdom is that your scoliosis curve measurement, or the Cobb angle, was sort of directly tied into your pain level. So for example, I've heard time and time again where a patient will come and see me and they'll have a curve and they'll say, okay, well, according to my doctor, my curve isn't bad enough to where it should be causing the pain that I'm having. Almost sort of implying that they're either exaggerating their pain, or they have a low pain threshold, or the pain is in their head, frankly. Well, the reality is that the evidence seems to point more to not the curve magnitude or the Cobb angle measurement, but more importantly, the curve configuration, or in other words, how balanced is the curve? I mean, I've had people come in who have had a 30-degree curve or a 25-degree curve and be in a ton of pain, but yet I have some people who come in and their curve is 70 degrees and they have seemingly no effect from a 70-degree curve. So how can a person who has a 25 or 30-degree curve have pain and a 70-degree person not have pain, or at least have any kind of chronic pain? And that sort of speaks to the underlying nature of some of the things that allowed that curvature to happen in the first place. For example, there are known underlying digestive disturbances that affect people with scoliosis more so than people who don't. There are neurotransmitter imbalances that affect people with scoliosis compared to people who don't. There are hormone imbalances. There are neurological differences in terms of the information being fed back to the brain by the eyes and the muscles around the eyes and the inner ear. So there are a lot of other abnormalities that go along with the curvature we all recognize as scoliosis. The reality of that is that a lot of those underlying things are what also contribute to pain. So if I look at somebody who has scoliosis, and let's say that we go back to my early example, somebody with a 25 or a 30 degree curve who's in a lot of pain, of course I want to try to help the curve if possible, but obviously there are a lot of other things that are likely contributing to the intensity of that pain that if I don't address, or at least try to address, that person is not going to get the benefit in terms of pain relief from the physical treatment of the curve that somebody else might. And we see it all too often. So, for example, there are a host of body systems that can create inflammation. And so I think when you start to talk about any type of integrative medicine treatment for pain management or pain relief, you have to attack all of those potential sources of chronic pain or chronic inflammation. Because let's face it, at the end of the day, inflammation is what predisposes all of us to pain. I mean, think about it as like take the flu, for example. You know, most people that they get the flu, what are one of the most hallmark symptoms? There are a lot of, you know, body aches and pain. You know, like I just hurt everywhere. Well, that hurt is inflammation, and that inflammation is being caused by your immune system. Of course, the immune system is attacking a virus, and so it uses inflammation as a tool to combat that infection. But the reality is, inflammation comes from a variety of other sources as well. Inflammation can come from your intestinal tract, from eating a food that you're sensitive to. Your inflammation can come from poor blood insulin production, meaning a person's carbohydrate ratio is too high and therefore they become insulin resistant over time, or they start to produce too much insulin in response to food intake. And insulin is pro-inflammatory. We have situations where, again, in somebody who has a curve, regardless of the magnitude of that curve or the Cobb angle measurement, there is a mechanical leverage or stress factor from that curvature onto the musculoskeletal system. And it makes the muscles have to work harder, so it makes it easier for them to ache and burn and spasm and all of those sorts of things. So there is a direct mechanical component as well. So to me, finally, there's also a brain component, meaning pain is also something that your brain has to perceive. And this is one of the hallmarks, for example, in fibromyalgia, where people, their brain is telling them that something hurts or their brain perceives something to be painful from a normal type of a stimulus. Like for, let's say, for example, just squeezing my hand a little bit shouldn't be painful. But for some people whose brain is hypersensitive to pain, it might perceive that mechanical pressure as pain. And that's what, sort of one of the hallmarks of the type of that we know as fibromyalgia symptom or syndrome, for example. So brain, blood sugar, intestinal tract, and of course, mechanical leverage and immune system all can factor into inflammation. So if we know that inflammation can be caused by from one or all of those factors, it only makes sense to try to give somebody something that can simultaneously address all of those factors, right? Well, as a matter of fact, we now have that. This is, in my mind, this is one of the most exciting things that I've ever been able to do, is to essentially formulate my very own ingredient combination. And it's we've essentially reformulated our original Scully Pain Plus that we've had forever and ever. And we still have, by the way. But we've also been able to create our own formulation of Scully Pain Plus that addresses all of those facets of inflammation. So, for example, for some people who are having inflammation due to poor blood sugar control, where there are ingredients in here that can help combat that. There are people who have inflammatory pain due to abnormal leverage. Well, we have some of that. Some of the magnitude of their pain may be coming from brain misperception. We have something in here for that. So what we're really trying to do with Scully Pain Plus is attack all of the potential originators of inflammation so that each person who's having pain along with their scoliosis has the best chance of getting rid of that pain and keeping that pain at bay as much as possible for as long as possible. And the nice thing is the ingredients are very time tested. For example, curcumin, most people at least present day have heard of. There are well over 200 ongoing clinical trials on clinicaltrials.gov that you can find registered studying curcumin and its effect on pain relief. Not only do we have curcumin by itself as a means of helping natural anti-inflammatory mechanical driven pain from the curb itself, from the overworked muscles, etc. There's actually an organic turmeric powder in here also that has less of an absorption of that curcumin into the bloodstream and acts more locally on the digestive tract. So for example, if I'm somebody who's having more of a digestive, intestinally driven inflammation cascade, organic turmeric powder basically stays in a higher ratio or proportion in the intestinal tract. So it helps and creates a more localized anti-inflammatory effect. Very, very cool. There's also one of the other time-tested anti-inflammatory ingredients, and this has kind of a crossover to a lot of things, equally studied as curcumin, is Boswellia. Boswellia is a natural compound that's been studied for a long time as well, has an anti-inflammatory effect on the musculoskeletal system, but also has a little bit of an anti-pain perception aspect to it as well. Also, there's another time-tested product that we've used that's been used for a long time. Frankly, it's been around in centuries in Ayurvedic medicine and also in Chinese medicine, is one called fenugreek. Fenugreek is an herb similar to like clover. Actually, the seeds from fenugreek are the fenugreek plant, I should say, is part of the pea family. Like you think of sweet peas or green peas, snow peas, same family. Natural product, fenugreek has been taken and used for hundreds and hundreds of years to help better regulate insulin control and insulin production. Again, insulin is very pro-inflammatory. So anytime you eat sugar, if you're somebody who's having chronic pain, anytime you eat sugar, you are stimulating insulin production. From a dietary lifestyle perspective, if you're somebody who's having chronic pain, it only makes sense to limit your sugar and carbohydrate production because they are what contribute or cause insulin production. Now, for people, we have a lot of patients with scoliosis who are already pre-diabetic or maybe type 2 diabetic. This product helps improve insulin, let's say, regulatory control. It helps get your body to not have to produce excessive amounts of it. The less insulin we can produce in the system, the less inflammation you're going to be prone to having by default. So this is one of those ingredients that has been studied for a very long time with specific regard to blood sugar, blood insulin control. So we have one product where we are trying to address all of the potential facets as to why inflammation might be present. And of course, you know, I have a personal interest in this because obviously I created this product specifically this way. And the one of the main purposes of today's podcast is to kind of go through and say, look, we're going to give everybody who watches this podcast one heck of a deal on it to at least try it, especially if you're somebody who's had chronic pain, somebody who is fighting chronic pain on a daily basis and has tried a lot of things, and maybe you've gotten some relief from some of those things. To me, you will not find a more robust, natural product out there that tries to work on inflammation from as many sources as this product is aimed to do. So to me, it's worth a try. Again, when we talk about lifestyle dietary modifications, some of the easy things to do, or I should say straightforward, sometimes they're not so easy, but some of the more straightforward things that people should be doing are moderating their carbohydrate intake per day. For example, if you're somebody who's having a lot of pain, one of the most straightforward things you can do is to basically go into or at least explore the idea of doing a ketogenic diet. A ketogenic diet basically is one where most people advocate some type of, you know, 50 net grams of carbohydrates per day or less. The old Atkins diet that some people my age and older will recall is 20 net carbohydrates a day or less. One of the newer concepts that works also very well to help put somebody into ketosis, which is kind of like our fat burning stage, where we're not eating sugar, so our body's not producing insulin, is a concept called intermittent fasting, where depending on your age, you essentially only eat for about a 6 to 8 hour span, or eat within a 6 to 8 hour window of time per day. And then you are fasting with water only, essentially, for the other 14 to 16 hours a day, kind of a thing. So those kinds of things are very good from a blood sugar perspective on monitoring inflammation levels. We have a lot of people, especially if their inflammation is either insulin-based or digestive slash intestinally based, just doing those dietary changes will help to a significant degree on their pain magnitudes. So something worth trying. In fact, I have a lot of adult patients that I see also with scoliosis where when pain like that is a constant issue, that is one of the first things that we attack. And it's not to even necessarily say somebody might be overweight because of their pain, but the reality is, even if you're somebody who is, say, 20 pounds overweight, recognize that 20 pounds of body weight equals 60 pounds of force on all of your weight-bearing joints, including your spine. So imagine somebody who's 20 pounds heavier who also has an underlying scoliosis. You have that much more leverage on your back than somebody else does. So, of course, just a little bit more of added body weight is going to translate into a lot of excess leverage and stress on your spine and on your back muscles. So some pretty straightforward things to do. And of course, we work with that quite a bit in office, and I recommend anybody doing those kinds of things, ketogenic diet, carbohydrate restriction, some of that, work with some kind of a provider on that. I wouldn't go that alone. One of the other aspects that can also be done is there are areas of the brain that can tend to be hyperactive. So in other words, the way a pain nerve works, for simplicity's sake of discussion here, the more you stimulate a pain nerve ending, the easier it is to stimulate. And the lower the threshold in your brain is to perceive it as pain. Now, the advantage is there are nerves in our body that are faster than pain signaling nerves. So for example, when I look at, if I were to, let's say, hit my finger with a hammer, many of us have done that. Obviously, we know how bad that hurts. The first thing people do, they'll start to shake it, press on their finger, rub it, suck on their finger, those kind of things. Why do they do that? Because they're trying to stimulate the nerves that travel faster up to the brain. Typically speaking, that's called the gate theory of pain, or pain gate theory. And it's kind of funny because when my kids were little, anytime they would hit their hand on something or they'd fall and scrape their knee or do whatever else, we'd have them rub it, say, pain gate, pain gate, pain gate. And of course, my kids thought I was weird. But the idea is the more I can stimulate a non-pain signaling nerve in my brain will perceive that nerve before the pain. It really works much the same way, or really is the main mechanism as to why, for example, a TENS unit often helps minimize pain. The TENS unit is signaling an electrical impulse to stimulate those same nerves so that your brain, if I have two nerves traveling up, one transmitting pain, one transmitting pressure, for example, or an electric impulse, the first one that gets to my brain is the one that my brain interprets, and that signal wins. And because that pressure nerve travels faster than the pain nerve, it's an easy way to shut down brain's perception of pain. So anything that stimulates those, the better, which is why even low impact exercise activity is so much better on pain perception in the brain, et cetera. Also, spinal motion. We think of a lot of just different spinal exercises, which is where I think a lot of adults who do like Scoli Smart Bootcamp, as an example, tend to get a lot of mechanically based pain relief, is because We tend in adult boot camps to try to introduce a lot of spinal flexibility type exercises. And the more you can mobilize the spine, the more your spine actually produces our natural pain relieving brain chemicals or nervous system chemicals called endorphins and enkephalins. Those chemicals typically only get produced during spinal motion chiefly. So it's not even necessarily just walking unless you're really getting a lot of spinal motion involved. It doesn't work just by moving your arm or swinging your leg or whatever. It has to be spinal motion, which is very interesting. And so, again, that's kind of the spinal mechanical aspect of things. From an intestinally based inflammation, I already mentioned fenugreek, organic turmeric powder, etc. But from a dietary lifestyle perspective, what we find is that there are a lot of people who have scoliosis. In fact, we have done this now because we have so many hundreds of genetic profiles on our database, that a lot of the scoliosis patients that we find, especially the ones that are more prone to higher levels of pain, are typically the folks that we see that have a lot of the genetic predispositions to gluten and dairy intolerances. If you have an intolerance to any type of a food, gluten and dairy are kind of the easy things to pick on, but they're also some of the most common ones, but it could be any food. But if your immune system is sensitive to a certain food, what can happen is that as you eat that food, it creates sort of a kind of a low-level chronic ongoing inflammatory cascade that basically doesn't go away, because most people then are prone to just eating that food over and over and over and over again. You know, take dairy, for example. Maybe it's somebody who gets up in the morning and they eat a yogurt for breakfast, and then they have a bowl of cereal, and then for lunch they're having a sandwich with bread and cheese on it, and so on and so on. So as we really start to drill down on what they're eating on a day-to-day basis, they find that they might be having 1, 2, 3, 4 servings of dairy per day, but it's not really on their radar. But the problem is they have acne from it. They get headaches. They get a lot of fatigue after they eat, or they get a lot of bloating or belching after they eat. So there are a lot of sort of covert symptoms of intestinally driven inflammation from food sensitivities. Not coincidentally, a lot of that underlying intestinally driven inflammation is what ends up resulting in a lot of the neurotransmitter imbalances that we find in children who have idiopathic scoliosis. And of course, for example, in fact, I was even seeing it this morning. This study's been out a little while, but somebody reposted it again on the Scoliosis Warriors group just in the last day or two, of the idea that there was a study done about a year or 2 years ago now, February 2019, that showed that introducing N-acetylcysteine or aspirin could improve scoliosis even without doing physical treatment. Well, interestingly, now again, that was a study out in December 2018 is when it got published, but a lot of the media picked it up in early 2019. But we've been studying neurotransmitter imbalances in children with scoliosis since 2011, 2012. And interestingly, N-acetylcysteine is one of the parent amino acids that ends up getting converted into the bulk of all of our neurotransmitters, whether that's dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine, epinephrine, melatonin. All of those neurotransmitters have a basis from cysteine or N-acetylcysteine production. And of course, cysteine is an essential amino acid. And so a lot of us don't get enough of it by virtue, or I should say with scoliosis, by virtue of the fact that there are a lot of intestinal disruptions that prevent the optimal absorption or activation of that amino acid from dietary sources. Now, again, that is one aspect. Another aspect of scoliosis that we say is may contribute to the progression of scoliosis, if not the outright onset of it altogether. But suffice it to say, for purposes of this podcast, that intestinal inflammation is very part and parcel to idiopathic scoliosis. Obviously, we have an immediate supplemental way of combating that intestinally driven inflammation, but also in another sense, the person, especially if it's a child, may be better served long-term by developing very individualized dietary regimens and habits that minimize the chance that they get that intestinally driven inflammation in the first place, because it's so detrimental to a lot of other body systems. In fact, there's a great book called Brain as the Second Gut, or I'm sorry, The Second Brain is the Gut. And make sure I'm saying that right. But the whole idea is there are such intricate connections between the intestinal tract and the brain, and via a lot of the neurotransmitter processes, that most people kind of look at them now as almost one in the same in terms of neurological consequences. And as an easy example, there are case studies showing that gluten intolerance, if left alone or if allowed to become severe enough, can basically cause all of the hallmark symptoms of Lou Gehrig's disease. And there are case reports published that show that if you just totally remove gluten from that person's diet, those Lou Gehrig's disease symptoms can totally resolve. So what does that mean? obviously, going gluten-free doesn't cure Lou Gehrig's disease. It means that the Lou Gehrig's disease was really misdiagnosed as a very severe gluten intolerance. Gluten intolerance genes come up very commonly in a lot of kids who have idiopathic scoliosis, as do the dairy intolerance genes. So to me, if you have a child who has a lot of acne, a child who has a lot of fatigue, a lot of lack of mental motivation, doing dietary testing, food sensitivity testing, doing even the basic genetic test that we've always advocated all along, we can identify a lot of the predispositions for gluten and dairy intolerances, along with a few other foods via genetics. But also, they can have serum testing done to determine any type of food sensitivities or food allergies that may, at least up to that point, have gone undetected, or at least nobody connected the dots. So to me, those are big things to consider. So again, we talk about inflammation. We got sources of inflammation. We have pain from inflammation. We have pain from inflammation related to gut problems, food sensitivities, etc. We have pain related to inflammation from poor blood sugar, blood insulin control problems. We have pain mechanically induced from the curvature itself and the leverage on that curvature, etc. And then finally, we have a perceptual pain issue in the brain where the brain is perceiving pain too easily or too intensely. If you want the best type of pain relief, you have to address all four of those. So to me, one of the best ways that at least I am aware of that's available today is Scoli Pain Plus. It's designed to try to attack all of those facets if possible. For the month of March, being that we're on the throes of spring here, hopefully, it's balmy here today. It's 50 degrees, so it's kind of nice. I'm going to go out in shorts here in 50 degrees here in Michigan, but for the month of March, we have a promotion for Scoli Pain Plus, just as an effort to get everybody to want to try it and kind of lower the threshold for people to buy it and not have any excuses. There is a Scoli Pain 50 is the coupon that we're using, and Scoli Pain 50 is it gets you half off your first bottle of Scoli Pain. Now, one of the things we're also doing, which we haven't done in a long time, we used to do it, and frankly, I don't know why we ever got away from it, but we did. We are now reintroducing, with the revamping of our store that we've completed recently, we are reintroducing auto ship for this particular product. So many people were disappointed when we went away from that, you know, you can only hear the same thing so many times before you say, okay, I'm sorry, we'll bring it back. So we are bringing back auto ship. So if you go on to our store, scolismartlabs.com, you can also find it on treatingscoliosis.com. The promo is Scoli Pain 50, S-C-O-L-I Pain 50. That promo code will get you 50% off your first order, your first bottle, when you sign up for auto ship. So, and the nice thing is, because now we are the manufacturer, it allows us to offer a little bit of a better discount, a little bit of a better price, because we essentially are able to cut out the middleman on this product since we're the ones that made it. So I'm very, very excited about this product. And in fact, I'm probably going to be doing some clinical trials on it here early in 2022, because I think it's going to show and prove to be a superior natural pain relieving product compared to pretty much everything else on the market. So please give it a try. I would be very happy and curious to know your feedback. For those of you who end up do taking advantage of this offer in March, post any of your stories or feedback in the Scoliosis Warriors group. I'm excited to hear everybody's stories about it. One of the big things for all of you who know the mechanically driven aspect, we have so many people that buy a scoliosis activity suit that show all of their symptom improvements, functional improvements. Again, attacking the mechanical aspect of pain. I get very heartened by all of that. So I want to know how this is working for you, because it really is what allows Scoli Smart to kind of stay on the cutting edge, so to speak. Because again, we have to constantly evolve and improve what we're doing, because especially adults with scoliosis are really kind of largely left out in the cold in terms of conventional management. It's just kind of like, well, there's nothing we can do for your curve. So let's just manage the downhill slide. And I don't accept that. So there are a lot of things that we can do. There are a lot of things we are doing, and there are a lot of things that we can improve upon, and we will always continue to improve upon, because scoliosis is our life. And I mean, when you talk about ScoliSmart, I think there are, you will be hard pressed to find another company who's pretty much all in on all things scoliosis. So again, the March promo, ScoliPain 50, get you 50% off the first bottle. It also gets you the auto ship, so you get the better price with the auto ship. So a lot of cool reasons to buy it this particular month. It just came out. We literally just got our first shipment of them in, I think, a week or so ago. So very, very excited to see how this helps a lot of people. So I think that's it. I think that's my time. Yeah, so probably a little bit over on my time, but I want to make sure I get a lot of this in. So again, ScoliSmartLabs.com, TreatingScoliosis.com, ScoliPain50 is the coupon code. Or the promo code, enter that in your cart. You have to create an account when you order if you want to get that promotional discount. Here's to less pain. So happy spring, Warriors. I'll be back to you here when it is spring. I will be having another special guest on the show. I'm not going to spoil that for now, but I will have somebody on with me next time again, like I had Dr. Strachman on before for hormones in February. So stay tuned, and I'll talk to you soon.